Oops. Wait, I haven't even played the theme song yet. She's coming. She's coming. Get it. Yeah, come on. Hey everyone, it's Madge Weinstein here. Want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, although I'm posting it slightly after Thanksgiving's. I made a pot roast with pot. Just kidding, not really. Count the double negatives and figure it out for yourself. Listen, I've got a wonderful guest, the oldest guest I've ever had on this program, Ladies Bunny. The only person older than me in the entire universe is Lady Bunny. Lady Bunny of LadyBunny.net. Everybody knows her. But I wanted to promote one thing before I play it. I'm actually doing post-production, ladies. And Lady Bunny has an event on demand starting on the 4th of December, and it's called What Child Is This? And you can find it on voiceevents.com. So please support the Lady Bunny. She's in the house. All she can do is eat in that little room of hers. You need to support her because, like many of these performing drag queens, they can't work with this pandemic. They can't work. They need money. They need support. I do too, but I still have a job. So you can always support me over at yeastradio.com/donate. But Lady Bunny, she needs to eat. Well, I mean, need in quotes. But anyway, please support her. What Child Is This? VossEvents.com. On with the show, white ladies. Oops, that's what we used to say in Wonder Wisdom. Please don't take it racially. Fuck me, I'll never get accepted. I'll just keep getting canceled. I was demonetized on YouTube for the second time. It's so infuriating because Deborah, she makes hundreds of dollars a month and I make shit. I only know this because she sends me screen prints of her, what do they call it, brags, mini brags or something. I'm sick of it all. I get demonetized. I've been doing this for 15 years. I get demonetized because I say stupid things. But you know what? I'm not going to erase it because this is the way I talk. I have a diarrhea of the a vagina and mouth. I'm going to stop. Here's Lady Bunny. Bye. Eat it out.
Cinnamon Snodgrass.
Is that Lady Bunny I'm talking to on Thanksgiving's?
It certainly is.
I'm recording.
Well, hello, Madge. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
We're still allowed to say that. I forgot, actually, but the
promotion. No, you're not. It's called Takesgiving now because we're celebrating how we took all the land from the Native American. No, you can't say that either. The indigenous people.
Well, when you and I are celebrating it together, we'll call it Skanksgiving.
That sounds good.
Because we are skanks, and that's actually ripping off the title of Jackie Beat and Sherry Vine's Thanksgiving show. So let me at least
copyright.
Say where I'm stealing from
copyright.
So that I'm not like my white ancestors.
Right, because they
still
did not respect
disease.
Intellectual property.
Stolen jokes.
Lady Bunny, you know what they say about you? When you sit around the reservation, you sit around the reservation. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck. Did I fuck this thing up? Yeah. Hold on. Bunny. Wait, I fucked up the computer. Hold on. What happens is I get so excited talking to you that I ejaculate my vagina and it gives a short in my phone.
Yeah. Oh, okay,
yeah.
Well.
So sometimes I lose some of the quality because I get my female jism all over the phone. I squirted.
Well, I know you don't. I mean, you're a lesbian, so you may want a short in your vagina because I know you couldn't probably take a full.
I can take anything.
Penis, but a woman's small finger or something like that, you could.
I can take a woman's man's penis anytime.
Ooh, I'm pretty sure that's transphobic, but I'm just going to keep moving.
We can't say anything anymore, Lady Bunny. What are we supposed to do? Just masturbate? Wait, I just said that. I've already brought up masturbation twice in one phone call, and I haven't even said anything.
I have an effect on men. I mean lesbians.
Thank you. I am a lesbian. I'll have you know, and I've got the food allergies to prove it.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
I went to a bakery. I know that's going to shock a lot of people.
Yeah.
I went to a bakery.
I am shocked.
And they had removed the coconut donut, the toasted coconut donut, and every other kind of coconut donut. And I asked, you know, why? Because they've added all these, like, $3, like, croissant, like, what's the croissant donut that became so famous? Anyway, they knocked it off.
Croissagel?
No, it's that sounds good.
Jew croissant? I don't know.
It's some New York guy invented it, and now it's. I mean, this is
okay.
This place is actually incredible. But it's a donut pub, and the Dunkin' Donuts. You know how they put fast food places together under the same roof, so it was like a Taco Bell / Dunkin' Donuts moved in next door. And honey, somehow the Dunkin' Donuts and Taco Bell closed, and the donut pub stayed open. So that was so wonderful to see a small, you know, local, not another location, not a chain, you know, thrive like that. But she said we took all the coconut things away because if one piece falls and it hits another donut, someone that's allergic. And I was like, I've heard of nut
allergies. Are you serious?
I didn't know that coconut was that kind of nut.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to say it's because of the monkeys that they have picking the coconuts. Right? Because you heard about that, right? There's like you can't have coconut oil anymore because they have like slave monkeys that do it. They have slaves that pick the coconuts. Yeah, I'm serious. Like, you can't drink coconut water. After your daily yoga class, Lady Bunny, you can no longer drink coconut water. I can't believe you didn't get the memo.
Are you crazy?
No, because the monkeys.
Does it look like I have a daily yoga class? I do get hot yoga 3 times a day. But, you know, I stopped using. I'm actually moving to Africa.
Right.
So that I can use locally sourced.
Cox.
Coconut.
Cox. Cox.
Yes.
I heard
that's
you
the
like.
Kind of nut the nut I would rather meal. Okay.
I heard you like those locally sourced African cocks. I mean, coconuts.
Well, you know, I did live in Ghana, West Africa, for one year when I was 11.
Really?
Yeah. My dad got a Fulbright scholarship. He's a history professor. And we had a choice of Italy, Japan, or Ghana. And he picked Ghana.
Wow. Did you see anything unforgettable there? What was that like? I can't even imagine.
Oh, it was the best year of my life up to that point. I mean, we had like banana trees with, you know, monkeys in the backyard. We had... There was one time a burglary and the police came with bows and arrows.
Oh my God.
One time across the street from our house, a giant anaconda stretched all the way across the street and they just ran over it again and again to kill it because it was like you were not going to go looking for that. I mean, it was like the size of a tree trunk. You were not going to go there. We were on a college campus. We lived on a college campus and there were 3 tribal villages on the campus grounds.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty outrageous.
Was Nicki Minaj there? Was she like, my anaconda don't want none unless you got Bon Hunt? Oh, that wasn't Nicki Minaj.
I don't want none of her.
Sir Mix-a-Lot, right? Who did that song? My anaconda don't
want... Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah, and then Nicki Minaj remixed it or something, I think.
Sampled it.
Speaking of sampling, how was your Thanksgiving? Did you do anything, or did you stay home like Mayor Cuomo or Aunt, what's his name? Governor Cuomo said so.
Well, did you see Jimmy Dore is so on it? I mean, I live for his YouTube show, the Jimmy Dore Show, and he was on last night showing video of Cuomo saying. Be smart. It doesn't matter how much you want to see your relatives.
Right.
Stay home. Don't kill grandma.
Right.
Be smart. Like over and over again. Then it showed an image from one of the news things, you know, unless Jimmy Dore doctored it, which I don't think he's ever, you know, done,
yeah.
That said that his plans were to get together with his mother and his two daughters were going to come up.
So yeah.
This liberal icon who people is completely full of shit. And people like absolutely anyone. I mean, they just like him because he gave a calmer address than Trump. He is rotten and cut billions from Medicaid, you know, during the pandemic. He
yeah.
has closed down hospitals. You know, all over the state for years. So,
yeah, but hello, he has pierced nipples.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even believe that they're going on about,
well, listen,
you know, how handsome he is. And like, his brother is really handsome.
Right.
He's not exactly handsome, and I like Italian.
No, but he's fetish handsome. If you were into the fetish scene, you would think that's hot. Because you know they hang him up by those pierced nipples. They do all kinds of shit. They beat the shit out of him while he's in assless chaps with those pierced nipples attached to God knows what, Lady Bunny. So you have to be able to picture him in the right context. And honestly, in that context, pretty much anyone's hot.
Speaking of the fetish community.
Yes.
Do you know... Rich, really annoying CNN international correspondent, Richard, you know, he talks like this. He's
oh, yes, really, yes, yes. The one that talks about the airplane crashes, right? Richard, he talks like this kind of, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like a Cockney.
It's very, like, characterish.
Yes.
Well, one of my favorite stories ever, I mean, honey, this puts Jeffrey Toobin exposing himself on Zoom to shame.
Oh, what happened?
But it's like they found him in Central Park, and he was, like, in a bush in, like, the, you know, some, you know, gay sex area I wouldn't know of.
Never. Not the Brambles.
And
bird-watching,
and so
no less.
He approached an officer and said, "I have meth." And then he had, wait, get this. He had a dildo in his boot.
What?
And he had something attaching his nut to a neck collar, and
what?
That thing is still working on CNN.
Wait a second. How could? Is there a source for this? How do I know you're not just pulling
yes,
this out of your ass?
It was in the paper.
When did this happen?
This was. It's not hard. It's old news. It's
well, that's probably why
ago,
he's. He's
Richard
not.
Richard Quest.
Yes, he's the one that always talks about the airline crash. I know everything about airline safety,
yes,
matey.
He's so weird, and it's just like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, I mean, they gave him a business show after that, but I mean, you know, I don't know. Does
listen,
he like have something to blackmail them on?
Because no, there's a rumor. You should know this, and I can't believe you haven't heard the real backstory behind that is that Richard Quest is actually Bag of Chips. It's just like, it's drag. It's Bag of Chips talking. You don't see the resemblance? Yeah, that's Bag of Chips. The drag queen from England.
Bag of Lips?
Bag of Chips. That's her name. She just does really good old makeup. I have to tell you the truth, though, because I can't say anything too nasty about the Governor Cuomo because I do his... I do the audio podcast of his daily briefings, believe it or not. But it's volunteer work. Like, I don't work for him. But every time he does one of those briefings, I record it and I put it on the internet. And then it goes on his podcast. But I have to defend him, though, because...
Literally, but let me talk some shit about him, then.
Okay.
Because he opened... So I stopped watching these de Blasio and Cuomo things.
Right.
Because they were so full of propaganda. And, I mean, I'm talking like when I had just come back from touring in England and Scotland and all over this country. And you know, we were scared. We were locked down. And so people,
uh-huh.
those briefings would pop up on Facebook or whatever. And so It was all propaganda. I just wanted to see, are the trains open? Are people flying? Are the schools open? What are they saying about stores? You know, blah, 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 restaurants, et cetera, because I work in clubs. Hello. So I just wanted to kind of get a feeling. And, you know, de Blasio was echoing what other corporate Democrats were saying, things like, this virus is a war, and Trump is not fit to be commander-in-chief, and, you know, but all this other spin. And I'm like, well, you know, I mean, I agree with that, but just the facts, ma'am. Just tell me, can I get on a subway? You know, are there taxis available, you know, or whatever, you know,
because
I'm a shady lady. I might need to make a quick escape to the airport.
Right. Go to a Hasidic wedding.
So at any rate, I watched a Cuomo address, you know, after months of swearing them off. I watched one about a month ago.
Yeah.
No, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He literally started like this. It's 335 days into the coronavirus. Who's counting? Oh, I am. And I was like, oh, my God, this is making these fucking neoliberal twats write semi-serious pieces in Elle magazine about how they're turned on by watching the news because of him. I'm like,
yeah, but Bonnie, no, do you know
the brother? He's a god. Is a god.
I agree. But he's crazy too. The brother is a hypocrite too. He was supposed to be quarantining and he was outside playing frisbee with his kids. And then the news people came by. And then the next day on the news, he's like, oh, yeah, this quarantine is tough. But I got to tell you best part though. Did you know that Andrew Cuomo won an Emmy Award for that?
Emmy. That Jimmy George just did a whole segment on it. Please watch
That's
it.
Hilarious.
And he juxtaposed the video of him saying, don't kill grandma, be smart, like over and over, and then showed what his plans were to get together with his relatives.
He had to change his plans because of all that shit, though. He did change it. But only because of all the shit people gave him.
Anyway, before I shut it off in disgust, not sharing other people on the pseudo left's admiration for him, before I shut it off, he was talking about, we got this one thing he said I thought was good. He said people have got, you know, COVID fatigue syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. We, you know, for those of us who have been following the precautions and we haven't gotten it, we're sick of it. You know, we hear little things about, you know, the death rates being low. I mean, we still don't want to get it, but, you know, then we're not thinking that it's going to be on every surface for 3 weeks like they said it was at first. And, we're wearing a mask and we're washing our hands and we're not
fingering ourselves
sexually. And all the time. So that's true. We're tired of it. We know people who've gotten it. We know people who've gotten over it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so people, you know, listen, I'm not young to where I care about sex all the time. If I were, I may ignore the precautions to have sex because I was driven by sex when I was young. I'm not now. So anyway, that's a valid point. And I thought it was good for him to name it, you know, because putting a name to it kind of says, well, yeah, that is kind of what I'm experiencing and don't let it get to you. But then he went on about the vaccine VAP program, the vaccine acquisition program or something like that. And so, sure enough, I'm 20 minutes into like a 40-minute address.
Yeah.
And he starts saying, we've put all these questions to the Trump administration. When are we getting the vaccine? Will it go to states who are most populous or who are most infected? All these questions. And I'm like, stupid. The vaccine isn't even ready yet. So you're just, I mean, Trump is rotten, but there is no need for you to make Trump look rotten by saying he hasn't given you the answers to questions that he doesn't know, that no one knows.
Well, listen, even CNN, Jake Tapper gave credit to Trump for that Operation Lightspeed or whatever the fuck it's called. What
Warp
is that?
Speed.
Warp Speed. They gave him credit. They said, you know, we complain about Trump. He's horrible, but they didn't say that. I said that. But you got to give him credit because he did sign off on this Operation Warp Speed and it resulted in a vaccine in record time. You know, you got to be fair with these. You know, you can't all just, it can't all just be my tribe is always good, your tribe is always bad. That's just dishonest.
Oh, I know. I know. I remember when Trump got some terrorist or something that they'd been trying to get for years, like a number two of Al Qaeda. Do you remember that?
I don't
remember
that was, I think it was Ariana Grande.
No. Wasn't it? No, she's not,
something like
she's
that.
She's terrible, not terrorist. No, I like her.
Yeah.
So
I like her too, for the record.
So as soon as it started, I was on a plane watching it, and watching CNN, and like a long flight, and every hour, it was like trying for them to find new ways to say, well, he got him,
right,
but they may have done it in such a way that compromised state secrets or plans.
They have to make it look like it's a bad thing.
And so I put on Facebook that, you know, well, look, you know, killing everybody on Earth is not my foreign policy,
right?
But you know, and my foreign policy is leave the hornet's nest that we've created right in the Middle East alone.
Right.
You know, if that's the sworn enemy of the U.S. and Trump got him, you know, you've got to give him credit
that. You've got to be intellectually honest.
People unfollowed me because they could not bear to hear that Trump had achieved a victory that, you know, I mean, I wasn't walking around shaking in my shoes because of this guy.
You have to be honest.
You know, is the U.S.'s foreign policy. Yeah. He acted on it, or his team did, or whatever.
Well, what about this pullback in Afghanistan? He's pulling out all but 2,500 troops. I think that's great. Get the fuck out of there. We've been in there 20 years. But even my mother, she's like, did you, my mother said to me, because she's a very staunch Democrat, you know, and she said, did you hear Trump's pulling everyone out of Afghanistan? She's got CNN and MSNBC on 24/7. I said, that's good. Good. What's the problem? You know, I didn't really even hear an answer.
Well, I'm glad too.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more troops home.
Yeah.
You know, we should have gone into Iraq, and Jesus knows, Obama, as Jimmy Dore will tell you, Obama inherited two wars from George W. Bush and turned it into eight.
Yeah.
So from Libya to Syria to Yemen, he added all kinds of stuff. And so, you know, the Democrats are a war party. And whatever you want to say about Trump is that, you know, he may have, you know, like was in the process of or did pull out or was threatening to pull out of some nuclear treaties and, you know, whatnot. I mean, listen, I'm not going to sing Trump's praises, but I will say that I'm glad that he did not start a war. I mean, I hate to say it because he might, you know, before he leaves to plunge everything into chaos, because he is an agent of chaos. But he did not start a war, and I cannot say that I do not believe
that
with Biden filling his transition team, the fucker can't even wait until you know, he's in office with hawks, with defense contractors and hawks. I mean, it's really disgraceful. Yeah. So I would not be surprised if Joe Biden, starts a war.
So here's the question, and this is what I've been thinking about since the election. And thank God I can hate Joe Biden again because the election's over. What do we do as progressives? Do we stay inside the Democratic Party and try to work inside and try to make change and try to influence policy while we help them get elected? Or do we just get out of that completely and start a third party? That's the thing I've been thinking about. I don't know. Do you? What do you think?
Well, the Democrats are a party of war. Banks that crash the economy, war that even if you don't care about dead, you know, brown people overseas, it eats up half of our tax dollars. And so that does say who we are as Americans. It's not the decorum that Biden has or the lack of decorum.
Yeah.
That is the war is the U.S.'s biggest export.
Right.
A lot of the wars are started for oil, which now we have a president who claims he believes in the science of global warming and is going to take steps like joining the Paris Climate Accord, which right. Obama used as a photo op,
right.
And then started offshore drilling mm-hmm. with let Shell oil with a dreadful safety record,
mm-hmm. and RuPaul,
and RuPaul fracking, but here's this is the interesting thing I think of the thing about RuPaul fracking. the people that want to get down on RuPaul fracking, they already are down on him because they're so PC. I bet you there's very few of those who actually are on him about fracking because they lionize the Hillary Clintons and Barack Obamas,
right.
And Obamas who and Gavin Newsom's, who are not just personally fracking, they're pursuing fracking as a policy and right. doing far more damage.
But they're against RuPaul for doing it.
And right. his one yes. fracking ranch in Wyoming.
Right.
So that's what kind of they're already they think Rue is transphobic.
Oh,
they
that's
think
so
Rue
ridiculous!
Is this or a traitor to his race or didn't say what? Enough about Black Lives Matter or blah 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 whatever else? But yeah. And I think it's mainly the transphobic thing. Yeah.
That's nuts. That's totally nuts. But, by the way.
But so anyway, to answer your, but so yeah. at any rate, they don't bust
about?
Anyone else's chops for fracking except RuPaul's. They'll still right. say Obama was the best president in my life, even though he spread fracking.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that it rings very false to me. To answer your question about, should progressives
party.
Try to work within the Democratic Party?
Yeah.
Look, I live in a solidly blue state, solidly blue area. I am never going to vote for anyone who Obama or Hillary Clinton or Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer stands with. I am never going to vote for anyone who they endorse. I am not going to have the blood of whatever many Iraqis died on my hands, and the Democratic cannot be changed from within. I will with some hesitation support the ideas of those like Bernie and AOC who are trying to do that within the Democratic Party. It could be argued that Bernie destroyed the progressive movement that he created by twice endorsing the kind of corporate Democrat that we need to have that his revolution was supposed to be against.
So it sounds like you're saying third party.
You know, it's like he doesn't, what they were saying in the press about why he dropped out and why he never stuck it to Joe mm-hmm. was, they're friends. I'm like, well, you know what? Oh, thank you for the ideas, old man. I really appreciate how quickly you spread progressive ideas, but we could have had a viable third party by now. I don't know all the facts, but apparently Mexico started a third party, and within a couple of years they elected someone who is known as the Bernie Sanders of Mexico. So there is how many times from Bernie being cheated in 2016 and I believe cheated in a variety of smaller ways in 2020 to the DCCC, stopping, not allowing progressives. They blacklisted progressives who were challenging incumbents and wouldn't give them access to something that they needed access to the Democratic Party, or to Nancy Pelosi,
yeah,
and that PAYGO thing right after, yeah, they won 2018, and she, you know, got them all to pass, and they all voted for it, except for a couple of the.
Sorry, what was the PAYGO thing? I'm not sure. What is the PAYGO thing in 2018?
The PAYGO thing in 2018, she passed something that said we cannot have any progressive legislation unless it is paid for first. And I'm like, what? So all of a sudden you're a fiscal conservative?
Oh, you mean paid for, you know, like, I mean, yeah. Oh, that's that. You mean like Medicare
for, in terms, oh, like you cannot pass any welfare or, you know, help with expanding insurance or, you know, Green New Deal or whatever until you found the tax revenue to pay for it. So in other words, she's like a Republican fiscal conservative.
So Hillary had them put this into the, because I haven't heard about this.
No, not Hillary, Pelosi. I say Hillary?
I don't remember. Maybe I'm old. But so Pelosi had
her put this. In 2018, okay, after they won, and the Democrats were saying, look at all these people of color. Look at Ilhan Omar with a literal turban.
Right.
Look at the first Palestinian, and it's a woman.
Right.
You know, represented in our. Look at AOC. Look at Ayanna Pressley.
Right.
Nancy even either did or tried to pass something that said that even if a progressive president, meaning Bernie, was to get elected, it would kneecap some of his agenda. The Democratic Party shits on progressives, and I don't care about Cori Bush and Jamal Bowman and a couple of others getting elected. Add those to the squad, and there's eight. Yeah. There were five, and now there's eight. And all of the rest of them are playing the same dirty game. And Jimmy Dore is right.
What about AOC?
Aaron Mattei is right. You can tell the ones who are playing the dirty game by how much they went on about Russiagate, mm-hmm, which has fallen apart, and which, you know, they all set their hopes on, oh, Mueller. Then he was like, didn't give them what they wanted. He was like, oh, fuck him. He's a Republican. Then it was, oh, William Barr, he's the hero. Here's the hero. Then they said no collusion, and it didn't affect the election. They were like, fuck that asshole. So now these CrowdStrike things have fallen apart. Since then, I mean, there's like, Aaron, I'm so glad the nation still has Aaron Mattei, and I so look up to Glenn Greenwald for telling the truth about that, who recently left The Intercept,
over
creative control, which was part of his contract.
Wait, Aaron Mattei doesn't work for the nation, does he?
Pretty sure he does.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
It's either the Nation or Salon. Sometimes I get them mixed up. But yes, because of his reporting and debunking, some mainstream paper, you know, gets it. I mean, we've literally.
Yeah, but
got,
okay. Here's the thing about I read Aaron Mattei a lot and Greenwald a lot, and I respect them. But here's the thing that bothers me is that they're so. Why is news, like, I like Amy Goodman. I know that a lot of people think that she's gone too centrist, right? But she reports the news like Edward R. Murrow did. You know, just very matter of fact, they try as best they can to be non-biased, although they obviously have a bias. But Aaron Mattei and Greenwald, it's like, and Matt Taibbi too, they use so much sarcasm. And I listen to all of them. I love Taibbi especially. And I read all their shit on, and their private, whatever that fucking shit's called, because they get canceled from everything else. But the thing is, like, why do they have to inject so much obvious sarcasm into everything? Why can't they just at least pretend to be objective? That's what kind of bugs
me about
that.
Because the Russiagate thing is so widespread,
yeah,
and it is so ridiculous, and it's debunked for anyone
absolutely
who wants to know the truth. And this is why I mentioned the, yeah, squad. And went on to the Russiagate thing. Even Bernie Sanders was guilty of of the Russiagating thing. And all of that time that I sat and I watched after 2016 with Rachel Maddow's,
yes,
quote, bombshell unquote, after Bombshell.
Yeah.
And it amounted to absolutely nothing.
Absolutely.
And it turned Democrats into hysterical nuts who compounded their hatred of Trump
with an actual
paranoia of Russia. And yeah. Now they are not able to think. And if Joe Biden gets into office, as he did say at one debate, that he would not sit idly by if Russia or I believe it was Iran interfered. Oh, surprise, surprise. Another one of our long-term foes. If Russia and Iran were going to interfere with our elections, he was not going to sit idly by. Well, what does that mean? We've already got sanctions on them, which are a prelude to war.
They're desperate for another Cold War, of course.
And they've worked Democrats into such a frazzle over the nonsense that Greenwald and Mette and a handful of others have debunked, that Democrats would literally cheer if Joe Biden got into office on day one and attacked Russia. Meanwhile, we've got, 800, 1,000 military bases, and they've got what?
Well, they need it to support
Russia's got between 2 and 8 outside Russia.
We have to have at least one existential bogeyman in order to justify our humongous military-industrial complex, which is a huge moneymaker for a lot of friends of the government. And I agree with all that, and I agree that Russiagate was a hoax. I've said that from the beginning. But my only issue with those reporters, and they do great work overall, I think they're great, especially Greenwald, with what he did in Brazil and risking his own life. He's heroic. But I just wish, why can't they just tell the truth, the facts of the matter, without... They jump into so much sarcasm that to me that's what Maddow does. I wish reporters would just be reporters again. You know what I mean? There's just so much punditry everywhere, and I just want.
But it's hard to not be sarcastic when every major news agency is across the board is poisoning. The people's minds in this way. Because I just roll my eyes whenever I hear Russia or Moscow Mitch or whatever. Are we going to call Hunter Biden Ukrainian Ukraine? Hunter. this is ridiculous. Yeah. They don't even understand. How ridiculous they look, and that if you're concerned about nepotism and family corruption and all that, that you're now ushering in Joe Biden with his own corrupt family.
Yes.
I mean, this is just it's they cannot see straight.
Absolutely.
And it makes me feel so good to be an independent, because I was a Democrat all my life, and to just be free of that, to where I can see what is going on. And so I'm very interested in the People's Party. I did vote for the Green Party candidate. I was shocked to see him on Jimmy Dore, and not only did they not do, the news could have kept them off. You saw Jill Stein a lot more than you saw Howard Hawkins, and I never once saw one thing with Angela Walker.
They blacklisted the shit out of them, for sure.
Jimmy Dore, it should be about the policies and not the personality
or
the charisma. But absolutely. Jimmy Dore asked him, so how did you end up the Green Party nominee? Is the first question. And he said, well, I reckon it was an accident or something like that. And the guy's literally got a foghorn leghorn voice with one eye, hanging, down over the other one. And I'm like, so this is not going anywhere.
Right.
You've got to give some people something to, you've got to give them some kind of charisma. This is one of the only interview I've seen with you, and it was a mistake that so you got the nomination. That's not a burning desire that's going to make people skip, out of their party. So I don't want to fault him on his manner of speaking or appearance, but
So you're. It sounds like you're pretty convinced that it has to be a third party. Nothing's going to work for the Democratic Party.
Well, listen, for me. So listen, if AOC wants to throw down and vote against Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House, well, then I'm all there for it. And keep and you know, because she's a Democrat, she can get on the news and she can talk about it. But look at the news. People have got to break through from the news because they are already on the news, you know, misrepresenting things and saying that the that we have to go to Biden has to go to the middle because the socialists scared voters off. And in fact, you've probably seen that chart. Every candidate that supported Medicare for All won.
Right.
Every candidate that supported the Green New Deal won. Well,
and see, that's the problem with Cuomo, is he doesn't support Medicare for All. He's a great orator and all, he does all that shit, but he doesn't support Medicare for All, so I can't vote for him. But here's what I voted for Biden, okay? I didn't feel good about it. But I have said publicly, not that that means anything, my public is like three people, it's like, if that's the last neoliberal I'm ever going to vote for, unless he does something which I consider important, which would be Green New Deal or Medicare for All. If he doesn't do, or free education, if he doesn't do at least two out of those things, I am never voting for another neoliberal again. I don't care who the next existential threat is in the next most important election of my lifetime. I don't care if it's fucking Satan himself. I will not. Against running against some neoliberal, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm tired of voting to support these wars.
I'm there with you. But listen, Biden could have unified the Democratic Party and won in a landslide by supporting Medicare for All.
Right.
He could have united his party. Yeah. Instead, he's talking about maybe having a Republican vice president at one point. There's Republicans, including war criminals like Colin Powell, speaking at the DNC.
Well,
I mean, this is the Democrats are not the Democrats anymore, and the Democrats are not left anymore. So if you are on the left, I would beg you to check out the 4-hour online forum of Marianne Williamson, Danny Glover, Jimmy Dore, Nina Turner. You know, a lot of big progressive voices follow Nick Brana, B-R-A-N-A, who seems to be the figurehead of this. And, you know, he's one guy. I've never met him. I don't know if he was telling the truth, but he had a rather shocking revelation about Bernie, whose 2016 campaign he worked on and as a staffer.
You're talking about Nick Brana? This is the person you're talking about?
B-R-A-N-A from the People's Party.
Uh-huh.
I believe his Twitter is Nick_Brana.
And he hosted this forum you're talking about with Marianne Williamson and all those? That we should look for on YouTube?
Yes, Danny Glover, Marianne Williamson, Nina Turner, Jimmy Dore, and I believe Ryan Knight.
Okay.
And so some of them were saying, you know, try to work within the Democratic Party. You know, and listen, I'm an idealist. I don't know how to start a chapter of the People's Party in New York. But you know what? As someone who spent my life on dance floors and making jokes on stages, I want to use some of my time and effort to help a third party, because it's a win-win situation. They will effectively pressure the Democrats to, go further left, or know if there are people like you and I, just the two that we are, that have a voice that will say, Democrats, I am not going to vote. This is my position. So if you knowing my position and how I say that I'm going to vote and I'm not going to vote for you if you don't do anything progressive at all, my position is that I will support the People's Party. I mean, the Green Party, Listen, I don't.
You're still giving the Democrats a chance.
Huh?
You're still giving the Democrats a chance, then, is what you're saying, right?
Some of them are and that spoke at the People's Party. Others, like Jimmy, like Nick Brana, are saying completely cut it loose. But, you know, that's what third parties do in other countries, right?
Sure.
They form coalitions over ideas like Medicare for All and sometimes are able to force the larger parties to, look, the Democrats are not a party of their word.
So let me ask you a question.
Joe Biden is a liar who has been kicked out of his first two elections for plagiarism.
Right.
His first two election attempts. I mean, he lies all the time about everything.
Okay, wait. Let me ask you a question, though, because this is interesting. So you have countries, many European countries, where they form these coalition governments, like what you're talking about. So I'm maybe too ignorant of how our government works, but if we had three legitimate parties, or maybe let's say four, could we do coalition governments in Congress the same way that they do?
This is not my specialty. This is not my forte.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm not practical. I don't know.
But it's a really interesting point.
Machinations.
Yeah.
But I know that something, that an alternative needs to be there.
Yeah.
If the allegedly better party candidate, Joe Biden, says he'd veto Medicare for All in a fucking global pandemic because it's funded by insurance and Big Pharma. That's just all there is to it. He doesn't have an ideological objection to it.
He's such an asshole. I mean, he had the nerve on Twitter just last week. He said something like, everybody deserves a free vaccine for Medicare for COVID. I said, yeah, great. Now do Medicare for All. Because that's, why the fuck would you only have cover one disease? Why the fuck would you only cover one life-threatening disease? Cover fucking everything. It's so
apparently
annoying.
Obama told him to do shorter tweets, and the fool just tweeted, America, we're back.
And you know what, I'm sorry, but fuck him.
Tens of millions losing their jobs.
Fuck Obama.
And losing their insurance, and people finding themselves in lines for food banks and evicted, and you know, I may be one of them. Well, but America is not back. That's such a moronic thing to do.
Fuck Obama, because he said Obama said nothing for 4 years. Nothing, hardly a peep out of him when we needed him. Because you know, you could argue he says, "Oh, I can't talk shit about a president," right? Yeah. Well, you know what? You're a fucking leader. People need to hear from you, even if it's not Beck's talking shit about Trump. They just need to hear you. He didn't say one fucking thing for 4 years, and then he goes on all these TV shows after the election because he's got a fucking book to sell. Fuck you.
Of course
you.
He does.
Fuck you. That is so offensive to me. We needed him as a leader, not just when he needs to make fucking money. You know?
Well, it was so, but then again, after 8 years of him, we know what kind of a quote leader, unquote,
that's true, but they didn't, of course.
He was full of shit.
Full of shit neoliberal, but at least he could act like a leader. I mean, it would have been nice to have some grown-up in the, you know, he could have just come on TV and say, look, you're all going to be okay with COVID. Here's what needs to happen. He didn't do shit. He didn't say anything because he's, you know, his excuses.
No, he came out to stop Bernie. That was when the election was
over.
But
that was all behind the fucking scenes. That was all passive aggressive shit. He didn't go on TV and say, don't vote for Bernie, guys. He's socialist. He goes and he whispers in Elizabeth Warren's ear and says, oh, yeah, accuse him of being a sexist, and whispers in Hillary's ear, give her some Chardonnay and make him talk shit about Bernie. Fuck that. That was all like fucking gossip. He didn't even have the balls to do it to the public. And that's what's so fucking offensive about it to me.
Yeah, I mean, he was not, listen. We have got to realize that most politicians in both parties take meetings with banks or you know, NRA or whatever to show, or you know, oil companies, defense companies, to say, how can we screw the American people?
Right.
That's what they do.
And insurance companies.
So it doesn't matter if their wife and kids are cute. It doesn't matter if they give a good speech. If we are too damn dumb to look at what's actually going on I mean, you know, it's like there's an article in, I believe it's Jacobin, that says, it's called, you know, Obama destroyed black wealth. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, he after the mortgage crisis, he kicked all those people out of their homes and didn't jail.
He gave money to the banks instead of for the people.
In under Bush's last year, but Obama kicked people out, and who do you think takes those predatory payday loans? Largely people of color who have no other means of getting a house, which a renter like me doesn't fully understand. But a house is how you develop equity, and you know, you know, which if you don't know what that term is, which I don't have any, so I don't exactly know what it means myself, but you know, it's a base, it's a home base, it's value, it's where your, you know, granddaughter can come and live if she breaks up with her, you know, husband or whatever. It's home base, it's something you can mortgage because you purchased, you know, it's you know. So of course people of color that didn't have or white people, you know, or took, you know took these loans and didn't read the fine print, in the way our society is, there was no other way for them to get a house.
You know, they had a guy on, I can't remember who it was, on Matt Taibbi's and Katie Halper's show, and I forget who this guy was, but he knew, he had written, and he had proof of that he had written this article about, he was a, some sort of reporter, about Obama when he met him in, I think, 1996 or 1997, the very beginning of his career. He said, oh, this guy, Barack Obama, is a neoliberal, but he packages his neoliberalism inside progressivism. And he's going to go really far. This is in the fucking 90s. And he knew. And I'm so stupid because I was in Grant Park in 2008. I waited hours for him to show up, and I was there cheering him on. I got a ticket. And I was duped. And I didn't know that he was a fucking neoliberal. It's like I bought it. All that hope and bullshit.
I did too.
I totally fucking bought it. But let's be done.
And I knew he was full of shit as soon as, you know, he campaigned as to Hillary's left because she was such a hawk.
Right.
And he would you know, speak against the wars because wars seemed, the wars that we'd gone into, you know, under George W. Bush were the product of a dumb, you know, Texas, you know, you're either for us or against us, you know, Republican. So Obama seemed like the answer when he spoke out against, you know, these wars, or called them dumb wars or whatever, while Hillary was saying it's time to, on video, saying it's time to look at Iraq as a business opportunity instead of, you know,
which is exactly what Trump said.
Apologize to the world and get the fuck out.
Which is exactly what Trump said when he said we should make money off the oil. So how did that message, you know what I mean? It's weird, right? Like, really, it's just Trump took the same message and packages it, and then he gets to be the racist.
As an asshole.
It's really interesting. But you wrap it in Chardonnay, and it's totally cool. It's cult of personality.
When Obama won, you know, people got so mad at me because when they refused to prosecute Bush and Cheney for war crimes, and, you know, I was calling him out, just calling Obama administration out, and was it Eric Holder that said, or it was, I think it was Nancy Pelosi that said impeachment is off the table.
Right. Well, they already said, Biden already said,
because they were already out of office, but prosecuting them for war crimes was off the table.
Well, Obama said he wouldn't do it. He said he wants a message of unity. And Biden has already...
Moving forward or something like that.
Yes, but Biden has already said the same thing about Trump. And then you see people on Twitter saying, oh, is Trump going to have Secret Service in jail? Like, are you people, like, alive? Wake up, because there's no way in hell Trump's going to jail. There's no way. Even if the Southern District of New York took him to court and fucking put him in jail, Biden would pardon him the next fucking day. They don't do that to presidents.
I have no idea about that. And, you know, to be honest with you,
Well, I could be wrong because I've been wrong about a lot of shit lately.
Trump. And like, I don't follow him because all I try to do is make sure that the left is better.
Yeah.
So that we don't have more Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris Hedges and a lot of the smartest ones are saying that, you know, if Biden doesn't do things for people, that in 2024, you know, in other words, if Biden doesn't stop being such a neoliberal,
yeah,
and actually help out a literally, you know, ailing country, that that the next, I mean, I don't know, maybe Trump will run, but the next Trump will be much more powerful because they can get someone
who
has the charisma without all of the baggage. Pay their taxes, who is actually religious, who doesn't have audio of themselves saying grab them, you know, by the pussy. And you know, that's exactly what they did when they got Obama. They put a person of color with the same neoliberal ideas, and that's what they went on. Democrats went on overload doing in 2020. Right. Oh, here's a woman. Here's a Native American woman, or thinks she is. Here is a black woman. Here is a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's a black man, Cory Booker. Here is a Irish man with a Spanish first name, Beto. You know, so it's like they went all out on the let's give all different kinds of faces, you know, to the same policies, and this is all about.
Well, and it's not the best way to choose
diversity and inclusion, except not including any diverse ideas.
Right. That's the thing. They were talking about that today on some podcast or something. Like, yeah, you can't. Identity politics talks about, you know, is great. It looks good. But when you pick people based on color, that's still discrimination. First of all, as unpleasant as that is to have to accept, it is it's discrimination. You're hiring people based on their race. I mean,
Crystal Ball did a great segment on that when she talked about the, you know, Kamala being the first black female president. She said, well, actually there was the first Native American president who, you know, like, you know, legislated against his own tribe.
Who?
Someone back in the 18.
Well, you know what? I have to go because I've got a pot roast in the oven.
Bloody pussy?
Bloody pussy. Yes, pretty much. You have no idea how right you are.
You're too old to menstruate, so you must have gotten fucked.
No. Hard. I thought it was a metaphor. I always thought you were talking about one of those rosebuds like you see on the porno. But listen, two words. If you have any hope,
watching porno.
No, I'm making them. If you have
just heard all my brilliance, how could I taint this mind?
If you have any hope, if you have any hope for a progressive Biden administration, I have two words for you in closing: Janet Yellen. Okay. So it's been wonderful chatting, Lady Bunny. We'll have to talk again soon. Yes. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Okay. Bye.
Bye.